You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/moviebs. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or typewriter. audibletrial.com/moviebs.
Jeff and Eric noticed one day that nobody on the internet talked about movies, so they had to find a way. They'll podcast thoughts on new movies they've discovered through autumn, winter, spring, and summer on Fridays. And when you've run out of films, you love to tune into jokes, playing games, all this and more you'll find contained on PBS with Bear and Snyder.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. I am your host, Jeff Bear. This is my co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hi, I'm Eric D. Snyder, the co-host of this show. That over there is the star of the show, Jeff Bear. Welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. The only movie podcast on the internet.
That's what I hear.
We filled a niche. Oh, we filled it up good.
Do you like to say niche?
Rather than niche?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal with that? Can you explain to me the two different pronunciations, where they come from and why it matters, and is one correct and
one
not?
Well, it's a French word, and so in French it's niche, and so it's a question of is that a word that has been fully Americanized? We pronounce it the American way, or do we still do it the French way? And I believe that the pronunciation experts say that that word has been Americanized, and so we niche is fine.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember
Did you really think I would have an answer to that question or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually did.
Good.
You like words.
Glad I didn't disappoint you.
I remember a college professor calling it niche.
Yeah.
And really being close to correcting him.
Yeah.
And then I decided maybe I don't understand the world as much as I think I do.
And that was the last time that occurred to you.
That was it. I've never once thought out of turn. I don't speak out of turn all that often. I think out of turn all the time.
Okay, fair enough. Let's begin the show, as always, with an iTunes review.
That's what we do.
Written by one of our loyal listeners. I assume he's loyal. I don't know.
Or she.
Well, this one is a he. And it's you'll hear it in old-time radio voice. The title is from Adnan. And he says, love this twosome. Great banter, humor, and insights. But I really wrote this for that old-time radio voice. Cheers! There you go. Thanks, Adnan. Short and to the point.
Exactly.
Don't need anybody rambling forever. Thank you, Adnan.
I wonder if people at home right now are listening and wondering how they write iTunes reviews.
Just you go to iTunes and whatever, write a review of this show. I don't know how you do it.
I didn't want an explanation for that.
Well,
one.
I'm just saying.
I
in
just
case
wanted
they
the
are
niche.
Wondering.
Niche.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I was asking like it was rhetorical.
Gotcha. Let's review some movies for maximum impact this week. None of it. We didn't see any of the same movies.
There was a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, a movie called Maximum Impact that I didn't know was coming out. Tell me more.
August would be the time that would come out, a movie you hadn't heard of called Maximum Impact.
But no. How is there not a movie? Is there a movie called you keep talking.
Oh, do we want to? Here's the movies that we saw. I saw Annabelle Creation. Jeff saw Breaking Wind. What is it called?
Wind River. Not to be confused with The Wind River, which is what I wrote down in my notes.
As usual. And I saw Step, which is a documentary, but you didn't see that. So what should you go with first?
Well, more importantly, I think it's time that we talk about Maximum Impact, which came out this year in May of 2017. It's an action comedy.
Oh, I see that.
Somebody called Alexander Nevsky, Danny Trejo, and Tom Arnold.
Ooh, I also see that title in 2008 and 1992, but with not with names that I recognize.
Well, do those have a Baldwin in it? Because this one has a William in it.
Wow.
That is a Baldwin.
All right, so Maximum Impact has been used more than once as a title, as expected.
So let's move it along here, people. Let's do a show.
All right. Annabelle Creation. I just called an audible. Speaking of which, this show is sponsored by Audible. Never mind. Annabelle Creation is a wide release, and it's a prequel to Annabelle, which was a spinoff of The Conjuring, which is about a pair of real-life paranormal investigators who one time did have a case involving a creepy doll. And so now people are like, well, but where did the creepy doll in Annabelle come from? Most of the people who were wondering that were Warner Brothers executives who wanted to do another movie. So they've answered that burning question. And as the prequel set begins in the 40s, it's a...
Wait. Is this based on a true story as well? Does it fall into that category?
Or are we just removed
and it's utterly fiction? Because here's what the poster says. Hmm. You don't know the real story.
And usually when it says that, it's because they've changed the story.
But those were fairy tales.
Right, right. The movie makes no attempt to claim that this is the true story. There was a case involving a creepy doll. This movie does not claim to be the actual origin of that creepy doll. Reading between the lines, maybe they're implying that. I don't know. Here's the story, though. It's a guy...
Wait, more interrupting.
Yes.
I've never seen Annabelle, which is one of the reasons I didn't buy... I was going to squeeze in Annabelle, didn't do it, so then I figured, oh, I'm not going to understand this creation.
That doesn't matter if you haven't seen Annabelle, except for like the last 2 minutes of this movie. The last 2 minutes of this won't make any sense if you didn't see Annabelle.
Hey, Eric. It's your turn to tell me about Annabelle Creation.
Thank you. Anthony LaPaglia is a man in Miranda Otto, is his wife, and he's a doll maker. Like in the 40s, makes a doll, looks a lot like their daughter, which is not remarked upon, but hard to miss. Mm. And then the daughter dies. And then it's 12 years later, and this family, the Mullinses, they open up their home to be a home for Catholic orphan girls. Even though now Mrs. Mullins is hiding away, she's traumatized, hiding away in the bedroom. Mr. Mullins is all kind of haunted in the face and doesn't like to talk to people. For some reason, they've opened up their home to strangers.
Well, that no,
I wouldn't do that. But maybe they were motivated by charity. I don't know. But so six orphan girls show up with a nun to supervise them, and four of the girls don't matter, but the two who do are the two younger ones, the two blonder ones, Janice and Nancy. Janice and Linda. Janice has the old polio leg. She's got the gimpy leg, the polio.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's like, that's a good horror device right there. You might as well throw that in.
Yeah, and Linda is her faithful sidekick. And in the house, it's your standard house with some locked doors and some creaky old dumbwaiters and hidden closets and whatnot. Your standard horror movie house. And then some supernatural things like a note written in crayon. Leads Janice.
Whoa, hey. Anybody can write in crayon.
Well, but this looks like the handwriting of a child, and there's no child living in this house.
Isn't there six of them?
Well, but they're like teenagers.
Oh, okay.
But this handwritten note leads Janice to this hidden closet where the doll that Mr. Mullins made has been stashed for reasons unknown at this point, why they hid the doll away. But then, you know, things get spooky. The problem with these movies, with these mediocre PG-13 horror movies, is...
This is R.
R, yes. But it should be PG-13. Because there's nothing. Okay. There's no sexual nudity or profanity.
Was it Annabelle?
Mm-hmm.
Annabelle was R?
That was The Conjuring.
Scariness. That's right. Yes, that's right. Okay.
But the problem with these generic horror films that don't have anything new is that you often get bored waiting for all hell to break loose.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally does in the last 20 to 30 minutes, and there's some effective stuff in there. Some good business with creepy photographs and with light and dark and shadows and everything. But since there's nothing new here, and it's not done particularly well, there's nothing to recommend it, but nothing, it's not bad, just mediocre and generic.
It's an hour and 50 long. Would it have been better if it had been 90 minutes, would you have not knocked it up a grade, probably?
It certainly, that would have helped had it been a little tighter, a little quicker. So it's not bad, but it's forgettable. It's a C+, Annabelle Creation. So there you go. That's my movie.
Hey, I got a movie.
What's yours?
Not the Wind River, just Wind River.
Nobody cares about Wind River.
So I wanted to see it because it's Tyler Sheridan's first film, and he's the guy that wrote Hell or High Water. You had a choice in that one.
I remember.
Whereas this one, you don't have a choice. It's just cold.
It's Wind River.
It's cold.
All right.
Okay. So here's what we got. We got the town's game tracker.
Oh, he also wrote Sicario or Hell or High Water.
Yes, he did. He's
wait. What about
more?
I'm just playing the Jeff Bayer game.
It's really annoying.
Right?
No, interrupt me more. I want to know more of your thoughts.
No, I don't have any. Go ahead.
Figured. Okay. So we have Jeremy Renner in the lead role here, and he's the guy that is taking care of a mountain lion if a mountain lion is getting too close to the sheep, to the townsfolk.
He's a sheepdog? Is this an animated film?
No.
Okay. He's a human whose job is to keep mountain lions away from the sheep.
And other things like that. Yeah. He's a tracker. Okay.
All right.
And he's good at his job.
Sure.
He's a hunter. He hunts. That's one of the issues. It's funny that as a writer turned director or a writer turned director writer, some of this script is not nearly as tight as his other films. Hmm. Like it dives into that, like, you've hunted before. Will you hunt for me?
No.
Like things like that. But it's like, that's not the only time that he's mentioned he's a hunter or someone else refers to him as a hunter. It's like, all right, slow down. We got the point. But
Does he hunt with a bow and arrow? Like what's his name in those other movies he's in? Jeremy Renner?
No, pretty much a sniper rifle.
Okay.
Which is very cool, especially when he puts on his like white outfit over his clothes and then he's with the snow.
Oh, right.
I'm a big fan of that. Anyway, so that's who he is. And guess what? He has a tragic past.
Mm-hmm.
Something that made his wife and him separate and things to that nature.
Sure.
And he's also on a Native American reservation. FBI comes to town because an 18-year-old woman has died.
Oh, dear.
And it looks like it could be that thing where it's like, well, she was running away from something in this frozen tundra, and maybe it's murder. That was going on here. And so slowly, I will say it is slowly for an hour and 47-minute movie, they kind of put the pieces together. It's Elizabeth Olsen as the FBI agent who's used to Vegas as opposed to the cold.
Mm-hmm.
There's an investigation that's afoot, and they figure out clues mainly to the help of Jeremy Renner and his tracking ability, as opposed to like, let's go by the book and investigate this person and then ask questions over here. The really nice thing about this film is the respect for the victim. It definitely hits on Native American beliefs, Native American aspects, how they're treated now. And also, at the end of this movie, I'm just going to kind of spoil what it says because this is based on a true story. Something that I did not realize that is really enlightening and fits well with the emotion of this film is, for some reason, Native American women are not tracked like in our country for missing persons and everything else like that. We don't know how many have gone missing. And that's just one aspect here of like people properly caring to solve an awful situation. There are definite moments of violence. There is a moment that is rapey. This movie is worth the time. It is a good first effort. It is weird to say the script could have been more it could have been a little tighter, but it's a 7 out of 10.
Nice.
Jeremy Renner fits very well with this role too.
Right.
It's a good performance by him.
Is his character a guy that for some reason is considered attractive despite not really being attractive? That part of the character?
No. Okay. This time, no. No. Nobody's, for some reason, accidentally finding him adorable.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And then Step is another movie. that also premiered at Sundance, but that also I didn't see till now. And I saw it just now. You didn't see it, what I meant to say.
Yep. Seamless. Keep going.
This is a documentary. A documentary about stepping. Step dancing. It's that step dancing, like Stomp the Yard. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was step dancing. Was Step Up step dancing? I think that was just dancing.
No, I think that's just dancing.
So Step is one of those crowd pleaser, really fun documentaries. It's in inner city Baltimore. It's a school called the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women. It's a public charter school. And what they did in 2009, they introduced, I think, like 140 girls into the school. And the goal was to have them all get accepted into college when they graduate.
That's awesome.
And so in sixth grade, one of the girls, whose name is Blessin, B-L-E-S-S-I-N, you might think her name is Blessing, but no, it's Blessin. She started a step dance team. And so now the documentary is their senior year. They've been doing this for 6 years, and now they're senior year. I was expecting it to be more about the step dancing competition, and that is a part of it, and they're preparing for the end, you know, to go to regionals or whatever, like you always do. But the movie is more focused on the academic, on the school year. The folks
perhaps taking a step in the right direction for their future.
Ah, good one. Good
one. Thank you.
Three girls in particular. I assume they probably followed all the girls around and just kept the three stories that had the best endings.
It's got to be.
That's how you do it.
It's 100%. That's how it works. That's how you do anything with high school.
Sure. Blessin is the main one. And she's beautiful. She's a beautiful girl. She's got a fighter kind of attitude, though. And she has slacked off a lot in school. Her mother is depressed, has depression, and has trouble leaving the house. It's also, I really enjoy how it's about these three girls, but also about their moms, too. Blessin has the depressed mom, who at one point says, you know, she went to college and she should have stayed. But lots of regret there for how she lived her life. And then Corey, who's super smart, wants to get into Johns Hopkins. And she is smart and driven and likes to be on top. And she's great. Love her attitude. Her mom was pregnant at 15 and, you know, gave up on a lot of opportunities in life. But Corey idolizes her mom because she was a great single mom. The family that was never went hungry. Just really admires the way her mom made the best of a not ideal situation. And then Taylor, her mom is like a stage mom who comes to like as many rehearsals as she can, and she knows the lines too. And she's up there dancing, embarrassing her daughter. And then also she works at a prison for the Department of Corrections. This mom, which they don't make much out of that, but they acknowledge it, and it's sort of a facet to her personality that she's not she seems like the fun mom, like the mom that's like, you know, too much fun and embarrassing me, but she works at the prison. And this is all in 2015. So Freddie Gray of Baltimore is very recent. They talk about that a lot. They talk about Black Lives Matter. And we follow them over the school year as they struggle with their grades and struggle with their personal lives and trying to keep it together. But one of the families is on food stamps. They got no food at one point. And it's great. There's a counselor. The counselor, Mrs. Dofat, who's helping them all get into college. She's great. I really enjoyed seeing, in general, how in the community of Black women, how they tend to support each other. They hug each other and encourage each other, and you feel like there's this shared sense of like we're all in this together.
Nice.
And it's really very inspiring. And we do see some of the fun step dancing. And it totally hits all the crowd pleasing buttons of a very inspiring, enjoyable, make you feel good documentary.
And you're talking specifically, like, this review is for one of our friends, right? Because he's a high school counselor, and
I said he would he would like it. It's for everybody. Very, very enjoyable. Called Step. It's a B+. See it if you get a chance.
An hour and a half?
Yeah, like 85 minutes.
Okay.
Nice and short. And even though they're high school kids, they don't swear very much. E.g. Oh. Like, they probably just didn't include the scenes where they swore a lot. But yeah. they're trying to keep it family friendly, and it would be great for girls to see it. Well, for any young people to see it, and to be inspired by seeing these people try very hard to get themselves out of difficult situations. Yeah, very nice Step. You know, if you like audiobooks, people reading books to you, you can get a free trial at audible.com free 30-day trial, you get one free book download, and we get a referral fee, a kickback. You just got to go to audibletrial.com/moviebs and sign up there, and we get a kickback. They have how many books? Like a million books.
A million and one. Somebody else just wrote a book, as I'm looking right now.
I think it's actually like 180,000, but pretty much anything that's on audiobook, they have it there.
You know what book I loved reading, and it would be a good listen? A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius. If you're a young person looking for something to captivate your mind.
There you go.
Dave Eggers, A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius.
Audibletrial.com/moviebs. And now let's talk about the Summer Box Office Challenge.
Fine. Let's talk about it.
As some of our listeners will know by now, having kept tabs on us on Facebook and Twitter, contest is over.
Mm-hmm.
It has ended. There is no way for you to win. Your total with the Dark Tower, $471,346,345. I still have one movie to go, Annabelle Creation, and I'm currently at $472.8 million.
Yeah.
So unless Annabelle somehow makes negative $1.5 million, it's over. And that's not possible. I checked. It can't make negative money.
That's right.
And so that's it. So that is the only question now is, and I am kind of interested in this, is whether Transformers moving to Wednesday instead of Friday killed you, or whether you would have lost anyway.
Well, we can't necessarily put a number on it. We could guess that it was maybe, what, 20 million or 25 million?
Well, we can put a number on it. We can see how much money it did make on Wednesday and Thursday. And if we assume all those people would have seen it Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, had it not opened until Friday.
Okay.
So the amount of money it made in those two days.
You're saying the 5 day total.
If we gave you the 5 day total instead of just the 3 day, that would have added.
Conceptually.
That would have added. Okay. Almost 24 million.
I would have been really excited if we could have played by, you know, the rules that we thought we were playing by. That would have been nice.
No, we did play by the rules we thought we were playing by.
Here's the thing. Hmm. Here's the thing. It sucks. That sucks.
Yes.
Because we both had some ups and downs, some nice surprises. You had the biggest surprise by getting Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I had a nice surprise by getting Dunkirk and avoiding many movies that fell into the teens.
Right, right.
You had almost all of your movies fall into the teens except for two.
Four of them, yeah.
You got the number one pick. This is a year where the number one pick was a huge advantage.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Which is what I would have taken as well. So, like, right. There's...
So you're saying that if the game had gone differently, that it would have ended very differently.
I'm saying if it would have been nice if Transformers would have stuck to its original opening.
And let me finish that thought there. If Annabelle Creation makes more than 24, 25 million, then you would have lost anyway.
I agree.
And Annabelle Creation is forecast to make like 30 plus.
It's forecast to make 25 to 35 million.
So it would have been closer, but I think you still would have lost, even if Transformers had not moved.
And I'm totally fine with that, like, because I would have had the lead for a week, and it would have been fun to watch. It would have been more interesting.
True, yeah.
It's a rough one. This is a rough one to take. Last year, I knew I was going to lose as soon as I did the draft, and I was totally right.
True.
This year, I thought I had a chance. It's too bad.
It's a tough loss, and it was a close game.
Yep.
You know, we all left it all out there on the field.
Well, and now it makes me nervous for next year because now, for the first time in a long time, I'm like down and worried that I might be too behind because right now this means you've, out of the 7 years, you've won four.
Yeah, four and you've won three.
I need next year to be a victory. Right. I need a win.
Right.
We'll see.
Depending on how Annabelle actually does, this will wind up probably being the closest we've been. The previous closest we were in 2015, there was a difference of 39 million. You won that year by 39
million.
Yeah,
this would probably be.
This probably would be closer than that. Well, not, the first year we only did five movies each, and it was like 9 million apart. Yeah. So I'm assuming that was an anomaly.
That was the professionals. That was just amateur.
Certainly, probably our closest race yet.
We're going to, should we talk about the things that I have to do? Do you know yet my...
I have not decided which movie you'll have to record commentary for.
So then let's talk about everything that I have to do next week. And let's talk about also next week the rule changes that we're going to put in place for next year.
Okay.
To make sure that I don't lose again.
All right. Right. I understand. On the DVDs this week, if you didn't get a chance to see King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, you could do that, which we liked. We liked that movie.
It's a really good time.
Mm-hmm. Enjoyed that. Certainly worth a rental.
Certainly 100%.
Worth a dollar at the Redbox.
I was just going to say you were going to say that.
Mm-hmm. And then I
you
did say
love
it.
Mentioning the dollar.
It's great. You know what it's a dollar worth? Option.
Hmm. It's worth $4. Rent it.
I guess, yeah.
Bring somebody over and rent it for $10. That's only $5 each.
Why would you rent it for $10? Is that how much it costs to rent a new, like on iTunes? It's like $6.99 or something, isn't it?
It depends. It all varies. Right. $3.99 is the standard.
For new releases, brand new ones? I thought that was... Anyway, it's worth a dollar. For sure. Maybe more. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul isn't worth the paper it's printed on. And Snatched. Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn getting abducted in South America.
It's not bad. I think both of us wished more for Goldie Hawn's role, but there mm-hmm. was some definitive laugh-out-loud moments thanks to the Amy Schumer raunch.
Yeah, I don't really remember that movie. I mean, I know I saw it. Pulling up
remember,
my review.
Remember when she was...
I gave it a B. I did like it.
Blow-drying a certain part of her anatomy. And
I do remember that
part. A door
now.
Opened up. There's moments such as that.
That was very funny. Yeah, this movie was funny. Good thing I wrote a review to remind myself of that fact. And those are the DVDs. And we also have a copy of The Lovers, Deborah Winger, Tracy Letts, which I enjoyed very much.
Yeah.
And none of our agents claimed that.
It's probably because they discount your opinion.
Probably. They're waiting for you to weigh in on it.
Yeah.
So now we'll open up to anybody. Any listener who with a U.S. mailing address who has not won anything from us in the last, few months. Send us an email if you want a copy of The Lovers. MovieBSPDX@gmail.com. And we'll choose one of you at random or whatever. There, open it to all of you. All of you, even the common people.
Wait, what are the commoners called again? Chips?
Chips, yes. Because you misspelled chumps.
Yep.
Well, that brings us to the end of this show, episode 370. What'd we learn?
Well, animal creation,
meh, pretty much meh.
I think I'll never see it.
There's no reason for you to.
All right, sir.
Wind River, you said was pretty okay.
Yes, yeah, solid film.
Right, and Step, very uplifting documentary about inner city youths and their step dancing. Nice B+ of a movie.
Maybe one day it gets BS approved. We don't
maybe,
know yet.
Yeah, it has the potential.
Stay tuned.
You never know. So that's it. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thank you for listening, and good day.
I said good day.